It's tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's golden age. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark LeVonier. In this hour, sitcoms. Later on, we'll hear the adventures of Ozzie and Harriet from the late 40s. But right now, it's the Burns and Allen Show, with an episode known as Gracie's Filling Station. This NBC broadcast first heard on May 29th, 1947.
Have a cup of Maxwell House coffee, George?
Well, sure. Pour me a cup, Gracie.
You know, Maxwell House is always good to the last drop.
And that drop's good, too.
Yes, it's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen. Well, tonight, ladies and gentlemen, George and Gracie do their final broadcast of the current season. So for 13 weeks, you won't be hearing from radio's most charming comedian and most talented actor. But Gracie and I'll be back in September. So will Gracie's husband. Meanwhile, let's look in at the Burns home. Where George and Gracie are figuring out where to spend their vacation. An idea that appeals to George is the big automobile race in Indianapolis.
You know where I'd like to be tomorrow, Gracie? Indianapolis.
Indianapolis?
Indiana.
Well, now, where do you want to be? Indianapolis or Indiana?
Indianapolis is in Indiana.
Oh. Well, that makes it handy. You can visit both of them in one trip.
Yes. Well, anyway, that's where I'd like to go tomorrow to see the big race.
Oh, well, it's just as well you won't be there, George. You'd lose. You'd bet on the wrong horse.
They race automobiles.
Oh, well, then you'd be sure to lose. Horses can't run as fast as automobiles.
They don't use horses. Men run the automobiles around a track.
Well, now, that's the silliest thing I ever heard. Men can't even run as fast as horses.
Look, at Indianapolis, the automobiles do not run against people.
Certainly different from Hollywood, isn't it?
I'm going to try once more. They have a big track where these automobiles, driven by men, whiz around about 150 miles an hour. Now, if I were there, I'd get a ticket.
Well, if that isn't unfair...
Now what?
They drive 150 miles an hour and you get a ticket.
Let's forget about Indianapolis. What would you like to do on our vacation?
Well, I'd like to get a nice suntan.
Well, that's easy.
But it's such a long way to Florida.
You don't have to go to Florida. You can stay right here in Los Angeles and get a very dark color.
I know, dear, but the smog washes right off.
I've got an idea. I'll run down to the travel bureau and get some folders on different resorts. Where are the car keys?
In the filing cabinet.
The filing cabinet?
Mm-hmm. I wanted to put the house in order, so I organized an alphabetical filing system. Just look in the cabinet and you'll find the keys.
Okay. Now, let's see. Keys would be under K. Hey, there's nothing under K but handkerchiefs. You've made a mistake.
No, I haven't, no. When do you use handkerchiefs? When you sneeze. K for ka-choo.
That's some system. Well, where are the car keys?
Judge, the filing system won't do you any good if you don't learn to use it. Now think.
Car keys. Oh, sure, they'll be on the sea. Well, for Pete's sake, what's a picture of your brother Willie doing filed on the sea?
Judge, can't you figure anything out? Willie's in the Navy.
Yeah.
He's on a submarine.
Yeah.
A submarine is an undersea boat, so
now
I...
And you file them undersea, I see. Look, I'm a little slow in catching on to things. Suppose you tell me where the car keys are.
Well, just where any intelligent person would look for them, under P.
P?
Well, certainly. Think about our car.
Oh, I get it. P for Plymouth. That's not bad, Gracie. I apologize.
No, not P for Plymouth. Don't you remember? We had our car painted green recently.
Yeah.
Well, was it bright green or pale green?
Pale green.
P for pale.
It couldn't be P for Plymouth.
Well, of course not. Suppose we traded it in for a Pontiac.
Well, I won't try to figure it out. I've got the car keys. I'll settle for that. Come in.
Good morning, all.
Oh, hello,
morning.
Meryl.
Hello.
Has your discussion concerning the destination of your vacation reached a satisfactory culmination?
Get somebody to write a melody, you got something. If that means have we decided where we're going, no.
Well, then may I suggest a most delightful spot? An earthly paradise which lies in the vicinity of my hometown in Iowa.
What's the name of it, Meredith?
Lake Winne-Oscabega-Wandakeechee-Poo-Poo in the willows. However, some folks would like to shorten the name.
Some folks are right.
Uh-huh. They want to call it Lake Winne-Oscabega-Wandakeechee-Poo-Poo in the Pines.
Yes, that's much shorter.
Now, the name was derived from an old Indian saying, which translated into English means, woman love man love woman. What else?
We now have the mad Russian.
Interesting.
Interesting. Well, there's a most fascinating legend told about the lake. Would you care to hear it?
No, I wouldn't.
Well, once upon a time, there dwelt on the shores of the lake a beautiful Indian princess. Her father was tall buffalo, and her mother was little squirrel.
I wonder what they saw in each other.
The princess had many suitors, but she said the man she married must dive to the bottom of the lake and bring her an alligator.
Oh, big eater, wasn't she?
Yes. No man dared to try, because the alligators were very fierce, you know. However, along came a handsome Indian warrior. His father was Screaming Eagle and his mother was Purple Pansy.
Well, those Indians come from the darndest combinations.
When he heard the desire of the princess, he didn't hesitate a moment, but he dove right to the bottom of the lake.
Oh, and he brought her the alligator.
No, never came up. Beautiful legend, isn't it?
Meredith, you're leaving now.
I am?
You are.
Well, you know best. Good day, all.
Good day. What a schmo. But at least he gave me an idea. It would be nice to spend our vacation at some lake and fish.
Well, I've never tried to catch a fish, dear.
Oh, you'd enjoy it after I taught you what to do. First, I'd show you how to make your tackle.
But fish are so slippery. I couldn't hold them after I tackled them.
Never mind, I'll explain it later. Let's go down to the travel bureau and get some information about lakes.
All right, dear. My, it'll be nice to relax for 13 weeks while Francis Langford takes over the show.
Oh, will Francis be on the show first or something?
Yeah, the sponsor sent us a letter about it this morning.
Oh, that's wonderful news. I'd like to see the letter.
I knew you would, dear, so I put it in the file for you.
Not that Chinese puzzle again.
Now, George, you're just being stubborn. You can find it easily. Who's the letter about?
Francis Langford.
Mm-hmm. And what's the first thing you think of when you see Francis Langford?
Well.
Better make it the second thing.
I give up.
You think of her husband. Now, who's she married to?
John Hall.
Mm-hmm. And who is he?
He's a big, handsome, well-built movie star.
So, look under S.
Oh, S for star.
No, S for should happen to me.
Well, okay. Well, at least one thing is settled. We'll spend our vacation at some lake.
Mm-hmm. Oh, before we make it definite, George, I have a letter here inviting us to spend it with the O'Briens. That's my sister Pearl and her husband.
Oh, so the O'Briens want us to visit them this summer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they live in a nudist camp.
A nudist camp?
Yeah, that's what this letter says. See, it says, come and stay with us. We have nothing on for the summer.
That means they have nothing on their mind.
Or any place else, either.
Gracie.
Well, I don't know about you, but I'm certainly not going to any nudist camp. They say the food is awful.
Look, Gracie, the O'Briens do not want us to visit them at a nudist camp.
They do, too. My sister Pearl says right here, she says, please come. This will give us a chance to see more of each other.
Forget it. We won't visit the O'Briens. I'd rather go to the Ozarks.
Oh, you have some Irish relatives, too.
Yeah, my hillbilly cousin, Max Ozark.
Oh, I didn't know.
Sammy's nephew, you know. Uh-huh. Well, come on. We're going to the Travel Bureau and get some folders on Lake Resort.
Well, this looks like a nice travel agency, George.
Yeah, I'll speak to the fellow at the desk. Excuse me, sir. Could you recommend some nice lake resorts?
How do you do? So you're planning a vacation. First, let us consider the mountains. Ah, they are breathtaking. There, one fine scenic splendor.
Mister, look. Huh? All we want to know is about some lakes.
Well, I get to them later. How do you do? So you're planning a vacation.
I don't want you to get to them later. Tell me about the lakes now.
Oh, sorry, mister, I can't. This is the way I got the spiel memorized, and if I don't say it straight through, I get all mixed up. How do you do? So
aren't you the same man who sold us office furniture and real estate?
Yeah, I got fired off of them jobs. How do you do? So you're planning a vacation. First, let us consider the mountains.
Well, I can't understand why you got fired.
Weak union. How do you do? So you're planning a vacation.
Gracie, stop interrupting the man. Mister, couldn't you possibly leave out the other stuff and get to the lakes?
Well, I'll try. If you prefer lakes, we can recommend, if you prefer, How do you do?
I know. At least speed it up.
How do you do? So you're planning a vacation. First, let's consider the mountains. Ah, they are breathtaking. Dale, look, it's in fine. That's the other description. Oh, if you prefer lakes, we can recommend the land of the 10,000 lakes.
10,000 lakes, yes.
Which are as follows. Lake Adirondack, Lake Abercrombie, Lake
Allegheny. Wait a minute. Look, Abercrombie. Are you going to name the 10,000 lakes?
Yeah, that's part of the spiel, mister. How do you do?
Well, thank goodness we finally got reservations at Lake Louise. Now, Gracie, our train leaves tonight, so we've got to pack in a hurry. You know how long it takes us to get our clothes together.
Not this time, George. This time we can pack quickly. No stopping to look for things.
Gracie,
all our clothes are filed alphabetically.
Oh, no.
George, I don't believe you appreciate my filing system.
That's an understatement. The idea of filing my clothes in this thing. Where'd you ever find these wide drawers?
Well, that's your regular underwear, dear.
Yeah, that's what I meant. By the way, where is my underwear? It should be under you.
Now, what would your underwear be doing under me?
Not under you. Under you.
George, you're nervous.
Yeah, I fainted twice today. Gracie, where have you filed my underwear?
Under X.
Underwear?
Yeah, underwear.
Where have you filed it?
Under X.
Why?
Not why, X.
Look, Costello. Why did you file my underwear under X?
Well, because every time I see you in your underwear, it reminds me that you need exercise.
Exercise. Well, here, pack it.
Yes, dear. Now, be sure to take your green and purple necktie. You'll find it under J.
Why?
Not why. J.
Don't stop that. Why is the necktie under J?
Well, who gave it to you?
Your mother.
Mm-hmm. And what does my mother call you? A great big...
Under J. Here it is.
Oh. This looks like the same loud tie she gave my daddy once. My mother used to present my daddy with the strangest things.
I know. I married one of them. Now, let's get back. Come in.
Hello, George and Gracie.
Well, Francis Langston. Francis, oh, we're so glad to see you. Please excuse the clothes lying around. George is such a messy packer.
I know, Gracie. So is John.
Really?
Yes, I guess husbands are the same whether you're married to George Burns or John Hall.
Yeah. You're cute.
Francis, we're delighted that you're taking over the Maxwell House coffee time for the summer. But are you nervous about it? You seem scared.
Oh, well, that's because on the way over here, one of those Hollywood wolves tried to pick me up.
Oh, how awful.
He drove along beside me and yelled things like, "Hey, beautiful," and "Where'd you get those pretty legs?" and "Wow, what a build," and things like that. I had to walk around your block 3 times.
Well, why didn't you come in?
He hadn't finished.
I say.
But his car finally ran out of gas right up the street.
Well, good. That'll teach him not to...
Come in.
Hey, George, could I borrow some gas?
Oh, so it was you.
Francis, here's your wolf on the roof.
Gee, Franny, baby, why'd you run from me? I'm harmless, like the radio serial. I'm just plain Bill.
Well, I'm not like the radio serial. I'm John's only wife.
Oh, married.
Yes.
Well, George, who's doing the summer show?
Well, you've got a surprise coming, Bill. This summer, Maxwell House Coffee will be sold by the sweetest voice and the best figure in radio.
Now, wait a minute, George. You promised me a vacation.
Bill.
Besides, you shouldn't say I've got the best figure in radio.
I'm leaving out pictures, I know.
Yes, you're leaving out pictures.
Well, try one.
Yes.
I was talking about Frances Langford. She's doing the summer show.
She is? Oh, I see. Well, then, Franny, I better tell you about Maxwell House Coffee. Now, you see, Maxwell House...
It's so wonderfully satisfying, so rich, delicious, and mellow.
Yes, yes. That famous flavor
is
the result of
careful selection and blending of distinctive Latin American coffees... Radiant roasted to perfection.
Mm-hmm, yes. And it's economical, Francis. You see, Maxwell House...
is the very best in coffee drinking pleasure, yet it costs but a fraction of a penny more per cup than the cheapest coffee you can buy.
You're really telling her, Bill.
Well, Francis, here's something you don't know. With more than 1,000 brands to choose from...
more people buy and enjoy Maxwell House than any other brand of coffee in the world.
Yeah. And Maxwell House is always... well, Maxwell House is always good to the last drop. That does it. I'm getting out of here.
Where are you going, Bill?
I have to take singing lessons. I'll get even with her. So long, kids. I'll see you in September.
Bye, Bill.
Well, Francis, Bill may think he has the best figure in radio, but we know who has the sweetest voice. How about a song?
Thanks, Gracie, but my singing starts next week.
Oh, please, Francis, just sing something.
No, really, I couldn't.
Well, all right, then George will sing.
Okay.
Whoa, man, misbehaving all by myself.
What would you like to hear, Gracie?
Oh, you see, you changed your mind, huh? Well, anything you want to sing, Francis.
I'll sing You Belong to My Heart.
All right.
You belong to my heart. Now and forever, and our love had its start not long ago. We were gathering stars while a million guitars played our love song. When I said I love you, every beat of my heart was a moment like this. Do you remember? And your eyes threw a kiss when they met mine. Now we own all the stars and a million guitars are still playing. Darling, you are the
una vez.
Thank you, Gracie.
And your command of that foreign language was amazing. I never heard such perfect Russian.
You must hear my Spanish sometimes.
Oh, I'd love to. You're quite a strong bird, Francis. Almost as good as George.
Oh, Gracie, don't say she's almost as good as me. She is as good.
Of course, Francis, in some ways you and George are different.
My husband will be pleased to hear that.
George has more power, more depth. But you're good. Would you like to hear him sing again?
No, Gracie, really,
oh,
I...
Of course you would. Pour it on a sugar throat. Just open the birdcage of your mouth and make this room sound like Capistrano at swallow time.
Okay.
Birds are sweetly singing and perfume flowers are bringing in the winter's when I just passing by.
Oh.
No.
You're unbelievable. Did you hear that, Francis? Did you notice how easily those golden notes came sliding out?
Well, they should come out easily. He flattens them first.
He knows all the tricks. Well, I know you'll do your very best this summer without him.
It's a promise. Well, goodbye, George and Gracie. See you in September.
Lots of luck, Francis. Goodbye. Let's finish the packing. Oh, by the way, where are my cigars?
I put them in the filing cabinet.
Again, the file. Give me the cigars, please.
No, George, you've got to learn to be self-reliant. You can find them.
Oh, don't tell me. Let me figure this one out myself.
All right.
Let's see. Cigars are made from tobacco. Tobacco grows in the South. The South was the home of Robert E. Lee. Robert E. Lee was a general. A general is the head of an army. So you put him under A for army, right?
No, that's ridiculous.
Well, then where did you put them?
Under C for cigars.
Again.
Well, George, it's almost time to catch our train. Has everything been taken care of?
Yeah, the baggage company picked up our trunk an hour ago. I'm all dressed and ready.
Oh, good. Let's get started. Did you put our train tickets and our reservation in the filing cabinet?
I should say I didn't.
Put George in there. They'd be safe.
You and that filing system. I put them in a really safe place. Right here in my... the pocket of the...
Well, what's the matter?
I put them in my coat pocket.
Oh, well, then get them out.
It was the coat of my other suit.
Oh, well, get them out of that.
The other suit is in the trunk.
And the trunk?
It's on its way to Lake Louise.
No!
Don't say it. Just file me on the D for drip, Ethel.
Join us again next Thursday at the same time for our summer Maxwell House Coffee Show, starring Francis Langford. With Toby Reed, Carmen Dragon, and his orchestra and chorus.
That's right, and we know you'll enjoy them if you listen every Thursday night. And by the way, I'd like to tell you that a new George Burns and Gracie Allen record album will be ready shortly.
Oh, yes, maybe you'll enjoy listening to it, too. Goodbye, everybody.
See you in September. Good night.
The George Burns and Gracie Allen Show is written by Paul Henning and Keith Fowler. Good night and good luck from the makers of Maxwell House, the coffee that's always good to the last drop.
Maxwell House Coffee Time on Tuned to Yesterday, better known as The Burns and Allen Show, from May 29, 1947 on NBC. That would be the final program of the 1947 season. Over that summer, George and Gracie would appear as guests on the Treasury Department show Guest Star and the Army recruiting program Front and Center, joined by Dorothy L'Amour, who was the hostess, and special guest Ronald Reagan. It's an hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now Ozzie Nelson and Harriet Hilliard team up for The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet from November 21st, 1948 on NBC.
The amusing transcribed Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet, starring America's favorite young couple, Ozzie Nelson and Harriet Hilliard. Well, let's see what's going on at 1847 Rogers Road today. For one thing, I see two young boys walking slowly up the hill toward the Nelsons' house. Say, can that possibly be David and Ricky? Well, it looks like them, and yet they look so dejected. David seems to be limping a little bit. Say, his trouser leg is torn. Golly, I hope it's nothing serious.
Is your leg still hurt, David?
No, that's okay.
Well, you sure fell down hard.
I know it.
You skidded on the ground and nearly turned a somersault.
Okay, I know. Forget about it.
Don't get sore at me just because you lost the race.
Okay, so I fell down and lost the race. Imagine losing a race to Bobby Hamilton.
That's what I say.
He can't even run.
That's what I say. It wasn't a fair race anyway.
You know, it seemed like somebody pushed me just as I got close to the finish line.
Yeah, that's it, David. He came back and pushed you.
I hope Mom doesn't notice this rip in my pants.
Maybe she won't.
Does it look bad?
It looks like you pulled the zipper down too far. Hi, Mom. Hi, Pop. Hello, boy.
What's the matter, David? You look as if you lost your best friend.
It's nothing, Pop.
Oh, David, look at your good pants. How did that happen?
It was nothing, Mom.
Well, something must have happened.
It was nothing important.
You're not going to volunteer to tell us, David?
Could I volunteer, Pop?
Ricky, if David doesn't want to answer our questions, that's his business. In this house, everybody's allowed to lead his own life, keep his own counsel, follow the dictates of his own conscience. If David doesn't want to give us any information, that's up to him.
Then can I go up to my room now, Pop?
Don't you want to tell us what happened to your pants?
Shall I shine the bright light in his face, dear?
All right, I'm sure David has no intention of keeping secrets from his parents. Now, how did you tear your pants, David?
It was nothing, Pop.
Now, can I volunteer, Pop?
No, Ricky, this is strictly David's affair. David, I wonder if you understand why we want to find out about those pants of yours. We're not prying. I'm asking purely because, as your father, I want to be helpful.
And I'm asking because, as your mother, I'm dying of curiosity.
Now tell us, how did it happen, David?
He and Bobby Hamilton were showing off and...
Wait a minute. Is your name David?
Huh?
I said, is your name David?
No, sir.
Well, let David answer for himself, Ricky. What happened, David?
We were having a running race and I fell down.
You want to know why?
You keep quiet, Ricky.
I was talking to Pop. Is your name David?
Yes.
Well, why were they running the race, Ricky?
They were showing off for Betty Jackson. They ran a race and David fell down.
Oh, David, don't you think that was a little silly, running a race to impress a girl?
What could I do, Mom? Just stand there and look like a sap?
You look like one anyway.
Now, Ricky, that's enough.
It was a foolish thing to do, though, David. If a girl likes you, you don't have to show off to impress her.
Well, Harriet, I hate to interfere when you're trying to make a point to the boys, but I'm afraid I have to disagree on that.
Oh, you're in favor of skinning knees and tearing trousers?
David's condition is the result of a natural effort to win the girl of his choice. The skinned leg and torn trousers are wounds of his battle. Bobby's challenge in front of Betty was like a slap in the face with a glove. The race was like a duel. Those running feet were like the clanging of swords. The fall was like the blade cutting deep into his heart.
Guy, I'm lucky I wasn't killed.
Yeah.
Well, David, take your mother's word for it. You don't have to show off to make a girl like you.
David, take your father's word for it. A girl loves to have you show off for her. You forget, Harriet, I'm in a little better position to know what a woman likes.
Well, this may be news to you, dear, but I'm a woman. Mom's right, Pop.
Harriet, you may be a woman, but I'm more qualified to say what a woman likes because I'm a man.
Mom's a woman and Pop's a man. We're a neat family, boy.
Yes, it's worked out very well, Ricky. No, I really shouldn't let you in on the tricks we used to trap you unsuspecting females, Harriet. But in defense of David, he was quite right. Woman, being the weaker sex, is always impressed by physical prowess. That's been going on since the days of the caveman.
Is it okay if we go out and play ball, Mom?
Certainly, dear, but change your trousers.
Hey, wait for me!
And if you guys are going to do any batting, go down to the vacant lot.
Harriet, don't you remember any of the things I did to impress you when we were kids? Riding the bicycle, no hands. Ginning myself in the schoolyard.
I remember you were a very nice boy.
Going off the high board up at the lake.
I liked you the first time we met.
Swinging that big hammer and ringing the bell at Palisades Park.
You were always so considerate. Mother was very fond of you, too.
I was a regular daredevil and it worked. You married me.
Wouldn't have married anybody else.
What really made you decide on me?
Your eyes.
My eyes?
Yes, I'm sure if I'd refused your proposal, you would have cried.
Harriet, the boys have gone upstairs. You don't have to try and prove your point anymore. You know as well as I do that girls are attracted by physical prowess. They all fall for that hero stuff.
You want to play ball with us, Pop?
Yeah, it might be fun to play a little baseball, David. Just give me about 5 minutes and I'll get my old clothes on.
Ozzie.
Yeah?
You know, the more I think it over, you're absolutely right.
What are you talking about?
There's nothing that impresses a woman quite so much as a man's display of physical prowess. His bulging muscles rippling up and down as he leans forward and throws his weight into the task ahead of him.
Harriet.
His legs are weary. His back is breaking. But still he plunges onward, intent on completing his task if it kills him.
Harriet.
Yes, dear?
On my word of honor, I'll mow the lawn tomorrow. Okay, David, throw me one. Keep your eye on the ball, Ricky.
Here she comes.
Where'd it go, Ricky? Over the fence?
Well, down to your head, Pop.
Oh, I got it. Here you are, David. Let's have another one.
Here she comes. Look out, Pop.
Keep tipping him. I've got it. This bat is awfully thin.
Hi, Ricky.
Hi, Mr. Thornberry.
Oh, hi, Thorny.
Well, as you are.
Well, who'd you think it was? Joe DiMaggio?
Oh, really now, Oz? From what I saw, I thought it was some scientist out there trying to contact the moon.
Here's the bat, Thorny. If you think you can do better, go right ahead.
Oh, thank you, Oz.
Furthermore, I think I'll pitch.
You pitch? Okay, Oz, if you want to make it easier for me.
We'll see about that.
You want to catch, David?
No, we won't need a catcher, Ricky. The ball won't get that far.
All right, Thorny, this is the famous Ozzie Nelson splatter ball.
Fire away.
Here she comes.
I see we have a comedian on the mound.
I'm sorry, Tony. I had that orange in my pocket and I couldn't resist.
Hey, Pop, there's Mom over there.
Hi, Mom. Hello, dear.
Well, Thorny, there's Harriet. Hand me the bat.
Why, what's she done to you?
I just want to show how I can hit the ball. Look, Thorny, just lob me an easy one so I can powder it.
Oh, but Oz, how will I look in front of Harriet if you're belting my pitching all over the lot?
Do as I ask you this once, will you please, Thorny?
All right, Oz, get up to the plate. We'd have a jolly time if I could get my hands on a cantaloupe.
Mom's looking this way, Pop.
I know she is. That's why I want to smack a good one. Okay, Thorny, sting one in.
Strike one.
Mom's waving back at you, Pop.
I wasn't waving, Ricky. I was... You were lucky that time, Thorny. Pitch another.
Oh, yeah, just...
Strike two. You're coming closer, Pop.
Why don't I just roll one and see if you can kick it out of here?
Don't worry about me, Thorny. Hi, Harriet.
Hi!
Strike three. You're out, Pop.
Pitch me another.
You have three strikes, Pop.
This isn't a regular game, David. Come on, Thorny.
Oz, the only way you'll ever get it is if I mail it to you.
Don't go away, Harriet. Come on, pitch the ball, Thorny.
Shall I throw it underhand?
You might as well. You do everything else that way. Come on, let's see your speed ball.
Strike four.
Here it comes again, Oz.
Strike five.
Once more, Oz.
Strike six.
Let us know when you're out, will you, Pop?
Stop showing off, Thorny, and put one over the plate. Hey, wait a minute. I have a better idea. Here, David, you bat for a while, and I'll catch.
Okay, here's the mask, Pop.
It's pretty small. I guess I can get it on okay. Don't go away, Harriet. Thorny throws him pretty hard, but watch me catch him. All right, let's see your speedball, Thorny.
Here we go, Oz.
Harriet, are you watching?
Look, look out!
Yeah. Gee, I didn't realize you weren't looking when I pitched. Are you okay?
I think so. Oh. Oh, what am I sitting on?
Your foot. It's twisted under you.
Oh, this darn mask is stuck on my face.
Here, I'll give you a hand.
Let me get a hold of it.
Maybe I can help.
I think it moved then.
No, that was me. You're dragging me.
Well, you better get that mask off before your face swells up.
Yeah, I don't think I can walk. Oh. My foot hurts every time I move it.
I don't wonder. You swung around and sat right down on it.
Oh, how am I going to get home?
David, go get that wheelbarrow over there by the fence. We can wheel Daddy home in that.
Oh, don't be silly, Harriet. That thing's for hauling junk around.
If you could see yourself now, Oz, you'd climb right in.
I think that's the only way we'll get you home, dear.
Okay. Help me into this thing. Oof.
Traffic.
Ricky, be quiet, will you? I feel conspicuous enough as it is. Back any more attention to me.
Are you all right, dear?
Yes, I'm all right. Of all the humiliating experiences. A mass of twisted steel on my face, being pushed home in a wheelbarrow. Harriet.
Yes, dear?
If you see anybody we know coming along, I'll close my eyes. You just tell them I'm drunk.
Ever since man first began to notice woman, about 500 years after woman began to notice man,
he sought to win his mate by physical prowess. In the days of the caveman, he would simply choose the woman he wished to have and take her by brute force if necessary. We now show you a typical caveman, just plain Neanderthal Nelson.
Una?
Yes, Neanderthal.
Me, Neanderthal, want you, Una, for a woman.
Me, Una, don't like you, Neanderthal.
Una, if you don't say you marry me, I'll hit you with this club.
I won't marry you.
No. Now, will you marry me?
No.
Now, will you marry me?
Never. All right, I'll marry you.
I don't want you now. You're a mess.
Yes, there's no doubt about it. It's the big He-Man that makes a hit with the women. Many are the colorful stories that have come out of the turbulent days of the Old West.
Howdy, stranger. What's your name?
Texas.
Texas, huh? Where are you from?
Arkansas. What's your name?
Arkansas,
huh? Where are you from?
Scranton, Pennsylvania. What are you doing in front of the schoolmarm's house? If you're thinking of courting her, she's my gal.
She's my gal.
Well, we'll see about that. We'll settle this right here and now. Stand back to back, take 10 paces, turn and shoot. I'll shoot my gun in the air first as the signal to start pacing. Here we go.
Yeah. You got me. You were supposed to shoot your gun in the air.
Doggone, I always was a poor shot.
You didn't fight fair.
You're a sick man. Just don't think about it. Now I'm going to see the schoolmarm. Ain't seen her for a long time. A long time.
Hello? Hello?
Mighty long time.
Yes, there's no doubt about it. It's the big He-Man that makes a hit with the women. The most recent demonstration of man's physical prowess for the benefit of a woman happened just today, and the result lies there on the sofa in the form of Ozzie Nelson, the man in the iron mask, the man with the twisted ankle. The consultation seems to be in progress.
Barney, will you stop stroking that imaginary beard of yours and get this birdcage off my face?
How about soap? That's the way you get a ring off your finger.
Now, that's an idea. We could soak your head in a bucket of soapy water for about 10 minutes.
I found this hacksaw in the garage. Would this be of any use?
Just what we need, Harriet. Hold still, Oz. I'll have this off in a jiffy.
What a horrible sound that makes.
Hold still, dear.
I think something is starting to give now.
I hope so.
Okay, now, just let me have those pliers. Now she's coming. There we are.
Oh, what a relief. Thanks a lot, Thorny.
Oh, don't thank me, my boy. You're out now. All I ask is that you go straight.
We're going now, Pop. We'll see you later.
Oh, that's right. Your game's this afternoon, isn't it? Well, lots of good luck, fellas. I hope you win.
Thanks, Pop. Thanks, Pop. Here you are, dear. Put your foot in this hot water.
Oh, that feels good.
Oh, you poor dear. You must be miserable. Here, let me fluff up that pillow. Now, I'll make you a nice, cool eggnog, and I'll get some magazines for you to read. You just take it easy and just rest.
Oz, how can you stand to be treated like this?
You mind your own business, Thorny.
Here's the magazines, dear. Now, I'll go make your eggnog.
Don't you hate to be babied?
How many eggs do you like, dear?
Two, Harriet, please.
Well, if you like this sort of thing. I think I'll be on my way.
You going home?
No, I think I'll go down to the playground and see if I can't get hurt, too.
Mixer, how do you feel?
Like a chump.
What are you talking about?
Oh, it must have been pretty obvious that I was showing off for you.
I thought the way you stopped Thorny's pitch was very clever.
Harriet, don't make up excuses for me.
I'm not making up excuses for you. And come to think of it, it's pretty wonderful to think we've been married 13 years and you still want to impress me.
Yeah, I'll bet I made a great impression. There aren't many women who've had the opportunity to walk down the street, meet friends, point to the contents of a wheelbarrow and proudly say, that's my husband.
Don't be so silly. I'll be back.
Where are you going?
Over to the market to buy some of those porterhouse steaks you like. Keep your foot in that water. Oh, hello, Mrs. Nelson. I was just going to knock. How's Mr. Nelson? Oh, he's much better, thanks, Emmy Lou. It must have been awful with that catcher's mask stuck on his face. It was, but he had the cutest turned-up nose you've ever seen. I'm leaving, but go on in.
Hello, Emmy
Lou. Hello, Miss Nelson. Here, a little present for you.
Oh, thanks. What are they?
Nut cookies.
That's very appropriate, Emmy Lou.
And here, this is a box of candy for Mrs. Hodges and a box of peanut brittle for Mrs. Dennison.
Mrs. Hodges and Mrs. Dennison? Oh, they shouldn't have gone to all that trouble.
Oh, they were very happy to. You know how women love to rally around the fallen warrior, so to speak. How's your ankle, Mr. Nelson?
Oh, it's pretty good now, thanks. The swelling is going down.
My, what a lovely foot.
Lovely?
Oh, yes, it's so graceful. Those long, artistic toes. I'll bet you have some kind of talent, Mr. Nelson.
Oh, I play the piano a little.
Take off your other shoe and play something for me.
I usually play by ear, if that's of any interest to you. But I don't think so, not today.
Is there anything I can get for you? Do you hurt anywhere?
Oh, I'm all right, except for a fractured ego. You're looking at a crushed man, Emmy Lou. A man humiliated in front of his own wife. I tried to be a hero, and I'm a flop.
You aren't, Mr. Nelson. Don't say such a thing because it isn't true. You're wonderful and kind and sweet. Well, Mrs. Nelson loves you. She doesn't care if you're a flop.
No. Women are all alike, Emmy Lou. They like the hero, the winner. It's always been that way.
Oh, no, Mr. Nelson. That may be true in movies or in books, but in real life, it's just the opposite. It's the mother instinct. All women love to baby their men, to cater to their little weaknesses and vanities. What woman could love a big hero? We love the loser, the underdog. I'm going to the school dance tonight, and I'll bet there'll be plenty of girls with boyfriends who've never been outstanding in anything. But they'll be proud of their days, and I'll be proud of my days.
Who are you going with, Emmy Lou?
Donald Crowder.
Who's Donald Crowder?
Who's Donald Crowder? You asked me who Donald Crowder is.
I wouldn't have if I thought it would upset you so.
Mr. Nelson, he's a pitcher on our baseball team, a star forward on our basketball team, and captain of our football team. Hi, Mr. Nelson.
Emmy Lou.
Yes?
Lou, yourself.
Pop.
Oh, fine, thanks, Ricky. How'd the game go, David?
David hit a home run. Betty Jackson's farm. She's really stuck on him now.
Really?
You can read it for yourself all over the sidewalk.
Well, good for you, David. David? Something the matter, David?
Huh? Oh, I'm sorry, Pop.
He's been like that ever since Betty kissed him.
Well, yeah, I see a red smudge on your cheek. How old is Betty?
11.
Oh, then it couldn't be lipstick.
No, she was eating a hamburger with ketchup on it. I can't understand it. As soon as I got to the playground, she asked me about my leg.
Well, I was very considerate.
He said Bobby must have pushed me. Then she kissed me. Then when I hit a home run, she kissed me again.
Twice, boy. It made me sick.
Well, it's obvious what happened, Dave. You see, Betty was attracted to you because you were the hero. She kissed you because you hit the home run.
But, Pop, she kissed me before the game, too. Because they lost the race this morning.
He was using any old excuse. Who was kissing who? Don't look at me.
Harriet, David had an experience that proves my point perfectly. David hit a home run at the game today, and little Betty Jackson kissed him.
David? Gosh, not David, Mom. Davy boy. That's what she called him.
Oh, well, isn't that nice? I can't understand it.
Oh, it's simply this, David. When you hit the home run, little Betty impulsively kissed you because you were a hero. Women like a man they can admire. You see that so far, don't you?
Sure, Pop.
Now, on the other hand, when you lose a race, when you fall down... That is, when you lose a race, when you fall down... David, are you sure you didn't win that race this morning?
Well, maybe I can help you out. When a little girl likes a little boy, she just likes him. If he's a hero, she likes him because he's strong. If he falls down and gets hurt, she gives him sympathy and helps him up. When a woman loves a man, there's not very much she can do about it. She runs away from him, and he starts chasing her until finally she catches him.
You make it sound a little like trapping muskrats, but I think your mother's right.
You mean Betty is already planning on marrying me?
Could be, David.
Holy smokes, I'm going to be an uncle.
Yes, Ricky?
How did that stuff go yesterday?
What stuff?
About women trapping men.
All that? Well, what your mother said in so many words was a man may use physical prowess, but the woman really does the pursuing. Why do you ask?
I found out it was true, boy.
Really? What happened?
There's a new girl in school. I use physical prowess, and she prowess me.
No kidding, Ricky. What happened?
I hit her with a ruler, and she chased me all the way home.
Tune in next week to another transcribed adventure of Ozzie and Harriet, starring Ozzie Nelson and Harriet Hilliard.
And remember, the solid silver with beauty that lives forever is international sterling.
Yes, Harriet, the solid silver with beauty that lives forever is international sterling.
The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet on Tuned to Yesterday from November 21st, 1948 on NBC. And that wraps up this hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levanier. It's been a pleasure.